Please open your Bibles now to the book of Nehemiah. We'll be looking at chapter 8 tonight. Nehemiah chapter 8, as we continue our study, we're moving into a section that emphasizes steps Nehemiah took in leading the people in spiritual renewal and revival. And as we read God's Word tonight, one application from this passage is that the people stood when they opened the book. And so tonight, it'll be a little change for us, but I'm going to ask that we stand as I read God's Word from chapter 8 of Nehemiah. So please stand, if you are able. Hear God's Word. And all the people gathered as one man at the square, which was in front of the water gate. And they asked Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Then Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men, women, and all who could listen with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. He read from it before the square, which was in front of the water gate, from early morning until midday, in the presence of men and women, those who could understand, and all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Ezra the scribe stood at a wooden podium, which they had made for the purpose, and beside him stood Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, Maaseiah on his right hand, and Pedaiah, Mishael, Malchijah, Hashem, Hashbadana, Zechariah, and Meshulam on his left hand. Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, while lifting up their hands. Then they bowed low and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akab, Shabbathai, Hodiah, Maaseiah, Kalita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peliah, the Levites explained the law to the people while the people remained in their place. They read from the book, from the law of God, translating to give the sense that they understood the reading. Then Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and the scribe, the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people were weeping when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, Go eat of the fat, drink of the sweet, and send portions to him who has nothing prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites calmed all the people, saying, Be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved. All the people went away to eat, to drink, to send portions, and to celebrate a great festival, because they understood the words which had been made known to them. Then on the second day, the heads of the fathers' households of all the people, the priests and the Levites, were gathered to Ezra, the scribe, that they might gain insight into the words of the law. They found written in the law how the Lord had commanded through Moses that the sons of Israel should live in booths during the feast of the seventh month. So they proclaimed and circulated a proclamation in all their cities in Jerusalem, saying, Go out to the hills and bring olive branches and wild olive branches, myrtle branches, palm branches, and branches of other leafy trees, to make booths, as it is written. So the people went out and brought them and made booths for themselves, each on his roof, and in their courts, and in the courts of the house of God, and in the square at the water gate, and in the square at the gate of Ephraim. The entire assembly of those who had returned from the captivity made booths and lived in them. The sons of Israel had indeed not done so from the days of Joshua the son of Nun to that day, and there was great rejoicing. He read from the book of the law of God daily, from the first day to the last, and they celebrated the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day there was a solemn assembly according to the ordinance. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. That was about 5 minutes of standing to read the word. And the people of God gathered and stood for 5 to 6 hours that day to hear God's word read. This summer, we've had the opportunity to attend 2 family conferences. Some of you have also had the opportunity to attend some Presbytery church conferences this year or in past years. And as you do that, you find that it's a wonderfully refreshing time, both physically and spiritually. It's an opportunity for Christians to come together and enjoy fellowship with one another and to enjoy many different kinds of activities and a lot of fun together. But one of the things that is true about our church family conferences within the presbyteries is that the Word of God is central to these weeks that we spend together every day, sometimes morning and evening. The Bible is expounded and discussed. And it leads to spiritual refreshment and renewal among God's people. I don't think anyone leaves those conferences feeling like they're not renewed spiritually in some way. After Nehemiah had led the people in completing the rebuilding of the walls around Jerusalem, he called a Bible conference of sorts. The basic material needs of the people had been met through the rebuilding of the walls, but there was a need for spiritual renewal. And there had been some spiritual renewal, even in the rebuilding process. But the walls had been strengthened so that the people could gather to worship God securely and safely and live safely in the city. But they also needed their faith to be strengthened in the Lord if they were to be a vital, functioning people of God and nation of God. Well, we need to be restored at times in our Christian lives as well. There are times when our faith falters. Perhaps we have had a period of in which we have lapsed into some sin in our lives. Perhaps we have gone through a period of neglect and have grown weak spiritually in our lives. And there is a need that we would recover of Christian vitality and in our faith and service in the kingdom. Well, one key element in this renewal process is the Word of God. The Holy Spirit works through God's Word to revive the hearts of His people. It is always God's Word that will be at the center of true revival and spiritual renewal in the church of Jesus Christ. And that's what we see happening here in chapter 8 this evening. It is as God's Word is read and considered that God's people are renewed. I want you to notice 3 aspects to this renewal by God's Word tonight as we look at this passage. First of all, we see the manner in which the Word was communicated. The manner in which the Word was communicated in verses 1 through 8. The people gathered to hear the Word. Now we might ask the question, what brought them together? Well, this was the first day of the 7th month, which was the time appointed for observing the Feast of Trumpets. Numbers chapter 29 details instructions for that feast. This 7th month was equivalent to our September, October. So we're moving into that particular period of the year. And it was a significant month in the Jewish calendar because not only did you have the Feast of Trumpets, you had the Day of Atonement on the 10th day of the 7th month. And you also had the Feast of Tabernacles on the 15th day of that month. So they gathered for this on this first day, and perhaps it was in conjunction with the Feast of Trumpets, but certainly it was in conjunction with the call of Nehemiah, who was seeking to have the people instructed in the Scriptures. And it was obvious that this was a planned gathering because there was this platform built in front of the people. And that platform was where the Word of God would be read and taught by Ezra the scribe and the Levites. So after returning home for a short time following the completion of the walls, the people came together again for this assembly in Jerusalem. But notice how God was working here. We read that all the people gathered as one man. Now, we might think that just a few extremely dedicated Jews would come together for this occasion after laboring for 52 days in Jerusalem, away from their homes, rebuilding the wall. But God was at work here among His people, in their hearts, so that they all desired to return to the city for this assembly. And furthermore, did you notice what they ask? They asked Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses and to read it to them. They had a God-given hunger for the Word of God. They desired to have it read to them. They wanted to hear the Word. And so Ezra brought the law before the assembly. The people who gathered together included men and women, and yes, even children, young children. All who could understand were there in that great assembly, hearing the Word read. And Ezra read from the first books of the Bible, the Law of Moses, those first five books of our Bibles. And the people listened for 5 to 6 hours, from early morning until midday. We'll note some key elements which show how the Word was revered. 13 Levites stood with Ezra as he read, showing the weightiness of the Word of God as it was being communicated. Some commentators suggested that these Levites may also have helped Ezra in reading that Word during those 6 hours. But there were those 13 Levites who joined him there by the platform. We also see that when Ezra opened the book, what did the people do? The people stood up, showing their reverence for the Word as it was about to be read on that occasion. And Ezra prayed and blessed God with the people responding in worship. They cried, "Amen and amen," and they fell down and worshiped before God. And they realized that this was God speaking to them through His Word. And so they worshiped before Him. The central location of the podium also indicates the focus on the Word. And that's significant because today we have a pulpit, don't we, that's centered in the middle of the assembly, and the Word of God is read from that pulpit. And the reason is because the Word of God is central to the life of the people of God and fundamental, foundational to the work of God's church. There is another important element here. 13 additional Levites were assigned to explain the law of God in verse 8. The New American Standard Version has the word translating, that they were translating it. And if you look in the margin, there's a variant reading explaining. If you have the New International Version, it says making it clear. And really, both aspects were involved in the work of these Levites. They were probably translating and explaining. Translation was necessary because the people spoke Aramaic. That was a dialect of Hebrew, and yet they probably were not familiar with the original Hebrew of the Scriptures. And so they needed help in understanding the meaning of the Word as it was read. But also, we see that the Levites exposited the Scriptures. They explained its significance for the people. It's likely that Ezra would read a portion of Scripture, and then he would pause for the Levites to give an explanation of it. Nevertheless, we see that it is important that God's Word is not only read, but that it is also understood by those who hear it. The mind needs to grasp the truths of the words that are being communicated. The Bible is not a magical book that if you just sit under the recitation of the words of this book, that things will happen in your life. Not at all. It is God's revealed truth, His will that is communicated. And it must be understood and it must be taken to heart in order for the transformation to take place in the lives of God's people. And so we should be careful to read God's Word with a commitment to understand it and then to apply it in our lives. So we see the prominence of God's Word on this occasion by the manner in which it was read and explained. But then secondly, as we look at this passage, we see the impact of the word taught in verses 9 through 12. The impact of the word taught. The word was read. And what happened? The people wept. The people wept when they heard the law. Not only did they understand with their minds, but also their hearts were moved by the word. There was an emotional response, which was the result of a real comprehension of biblical truth. We know that the Spirit was at work in this. The Spirit was at work before the people gathered, giving them the desire to hear the word. The Spirit was at work as the word was communicated, because we see this response in their hearts. We know the Holy Spirit gives illumination. He gives understanding. He also gives heart conviction through the ministry of the word. But why were the people weeping on this occasion? This was a feast, the Feast of Trumpets. As they heard the law of God read, they were confronted with the holiness of God. They were confronted with the perfect character of God, all of His attributes. Think about that if you read through the first five books of the Old Testament. All of the attributes of God that are represented there in those significant books of the Bible. They heard described in the Scriptures His righteousness and His justice, His mercy and His faithfulness. And they were convicted of their own sinfulness in the presence of Almighty God as they heard His commands. Well, this kind of intense emotional response to the Word does not happen every day when the Word is preached. And there's various reasons for that. But sometimes it's because our hearts are not prepared for that Word. This kind of a response is stirred by the Holy Spirit, but often it is hindered by our own casualness in approaching the Word of God, or by our own callousness of heart, our insensitivity to the things of God as revealed in His Word. And yet there are times when God opens our hearts so that we gain a fresh awareness of the reality of His character and the truth of His commands, and we are deeply moved. We see that we have fallen far short of God's law, and we grieve over our sin, and we're led to repent of that sin and to set a new course in the power of the Spirit of Christ. In this case, the people were surprisingly counseled to rejoice. They wept when they heard the word. But they were counseled to rejoice. Why? Well, for one thing, this was a festal occasion in which the people were celebrating the provision and the salvation of their God, the Lord. And while grief over sin was certainly a good thing and a right response to the word, yet this day was not a day that called for mourning, but for rejoicing in the redeeming love of God. And so the Levites led the people to recognize not only the holiness of God, but also His mercy. And notice that three times in this passage they are exhorted not to grieve, because the day was holy to the Lord. It was set apart as holy to the Lord. It was a day to celebrate the covenant mercies of the Lord. And the basis for that joy that is being called for is expressed in verse 10. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so rather than them wallowing in a kind of sad introspection, overwhelmed with a sense of their sin, they needed to turn their eyes to the merciful salvation of God, to look to Him and the great redemption that He had accomplished. And they needed to feast on His gracious generosity and rejoice in the Lord on that occasion. And so, they celebrated. And they showed their appreciation for the merciful salvation of God by showing mercy to others who were in need. Those who lacked the food and the resources to join in this celebration. And so they shared their food and everybody celebrated this feast together with rejoicing. But notice that they celebrated because they understood the word. Verse 12. All the people went away to eat, to drink, to send portions, and to celebrate a great festival because they understood the words which had been made known to them. See, as God's Spirit gives understanding, our hearts are moved to grieve over our sin, but also to rejoice in the Lord with a renewed fervency and love for Him. J.I. Packer notes, grief for sin and joy in God's forgiveness and the assurance of His love are not far from each other. For the God who convicts of sin is the God of mercy who saves. And repenting of sin and trusting Christ for forgiveness are two sides of the same coin. And so we see those coming very close together, the grief over the sin, and yet the joy in the forgiveness and the mercy of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But genuine heart transformation does not come apart from a real understanding of the Word of God communicated. So we see the impact of the Word taught. But then thirdly and finally, we see the reform resulting from the Word applied. The reform resulting from the Word applied in verses 13 to 18. On the second day, this would be the second day of the month, they heard God's commands regarding the Feast of Tabernacles. So they had a second day of this instruction by Ezra and with the Levites. And they heard the instruction regarding the Feast of Tabernacles. Now the Feast of Booths, or the Feast of Tabernacles, began on the 15th day of Tishri, the seventh month. And it lasted 7 days. And it celebrated the first gathering of the fruit and the grain harvest, and also God's provision for His people during their wilderness journey from Egypt to the Promised Land. And that's why they went out to cut these boughs and these branches and bring them into the city and to make these little shelters. And they made shelters and put them all over the place. They were in the marketplace. They were on their rooftops. They were near the temple area. And they lived in these shelters during this festive week. Well, it was a reminder to them of God's great care and provision, and again, of His redeeming love. But when the people heard these instructions read on that second day, they began to make preparations to celebrate this feast. And apparently it had not been celebrated for quite some time. But they were filled with joy from renewed hearts that had been refreshed from God's Word with a new appreciation of His grace. And what did they do? They responded with the desire to obey God's Word. Their minds were brought to understand the Word. Their hearts were moved to grieve over their sin and to rejoice in the forgiveness of God. And their wills were engaged to act in obedience to God's Word. And so this celebration, which came several days later on the 15th day of the month, we read was like no other celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles since Joshua's time. And that's hard for us to believe, but it was an amazing celebration because the Spirit of God was at work among the people of God, and they celebrated with such joy and fervency. All of the captives who had returned from Babylon joined together in this feast with great rejoicing. And each day of the feast, what happened? Ezra read from the book of the law. From the first day to the last, every day, he read from the book of the law. Now, that was like a big Bible conference, a week-long conference. And then at the end, they had a solemn assembly on the eighth day, as God had ordained. But this is the record of a revival among the people of God in the Old Testament context. It wasn't through emotional stimulation or manipulation by some kind of a skilled speaker. It was not stirred up by a praise band or an orchestra. It was the result of God working through the reading and the exposition of His holy word. And it led to renewal, a renewed understanding, renewed worship, and renewed obedience before the living God. So as we close tonight, I want you to think about how highly you value the Word of God. What a blessing it is that I expect each household represented here tonight has multiple copies of the Word of God sitting in your homes. Multiple copies. The people had to gather together in Jerusalem to hear one copy of the Law of God read. And they did not have personal access to God's Word. We have many copies. We can read and study God's Word daily at any time of the day or night. We can come to worship weekly, morning and evening, and hear God's Word explained. But we need to ask the question, have we grown callous to it? Have you grown insensitive to the Word of God? When is the last time that you made a change in your life on the basis of what you read or heard in the Word of God? Spiritual renewal comes from a fresh and real understanding of God's Word. And that leads to a contrite heart that spills over into obedience in our daily lives. There will be visible, practical change as a result of the impact of God's Word in your life. So let us make it our prayer that the Word of God would be our food, as the psalmist says. Psalm 119 is a beautiful psalm that pictures a heart for the Word of God in the psalmist's life. May we seek to have His attitude as expressed in Psalm 119, verse 111. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. God's Word, our heritage forever, may it be indeed the joy of our heart. Let's bow in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we do thank You for Your Word, that You have revealed to us the truth, the way of life through our Lord Jesus Christ in it. We thank You for Your great and precious promises, and for the judgments and the warnings that You give. And Father, we pray that You would stir our hearts with a love for Your law, that we would delight in Your commands because they reflect Your perfect and holy character, and that we would seek to walk in them because we love You, our Heavenly Father, and because You have reconciled us to Yourself through our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that Your Spirit would work in such a way that we would be able to continually hunger for Your Word and find great joy in it, and that we would be able to put off the sin in our lives and put on increasingly the righteous ways that You desire. Father, we pray for victory daily and in the week to come as we seek to follow Your commands. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.